Good evening, everyone. Nice to sit with you tonight. So, last week we talked about preferences. You know, we do seem to be pretty complex as a human being. We do seem to have lots of phenomena that we're subject to that we really need to know about in order for us to live a more engaged life. So opinions, the reason they're so important, there's nothing's wrong with them, of course, like we said last week, but they can stay around longer than necessary, and sometimes they can create mind states, and, you know, mind states will stay with us long enough to create moods. So we find ourselves moody, covering everything with this unconscious mood at times. So nothing's wrong with opinions. It's this, we need to know them, what they are, and to understand their true nature. It's about everything else that we're learning about ourselves, about thoughts and about all the various things that we are subject to as human beings. But understanding the truth of opinions and not cherishing them, or not being so attached that we can't change our mind. And that's where we run into some trouble, or some suffering, I guess we should say. So tonight I want to talk about another phenomena, just one more phenomena that goes along with our lives, and that's the ego, the egoic mind, because it's always with us, and we're always, it's there, it's always comparing. We're always comparing ourselves with others. And it's because the ego believes itself to be a separate entity. It's this sense of self that we've all have, the sense of self, that's been created quite unconsciously, mostly, throughout the years as thoughts about ourselves. And so it becomes a statement to ourselves about ourselves. And we can get caught in identifying with this sense of self and taking life very seriously. And we also know what brings when we feel separate. Our heart knows, our mind separates, but our heart knows that we're all connected, that there's not a us in them. But the mind uses the body as the dividing line between a self and others. And so our thoughts, our ideas of ourselves are, they're not ourselves. That's not who we really are. And so we find ourselves waking up to a case of mistaken identity. I think I remember Ram Dass used to say to people, "Hello, how are you in there? How did you get into that one?" He would say, "And how did you get into that one?" And so we do identify with the sense of self. And again, nothing's wrong with that, but we want to know the truth of it. And the ego, of course, is always based in the past. And it is true that every moment is fresh. Now, if that's true, then wouldn't it be interesting, or can't we be a little interested in where is the freshness at times? And what is it that covers that freshness, if that happens to be true? And so that's where our practice kicks in. And so the ego has everything to do with the past and any given moment. In any given moment, our being is a accumulation of life, all of life, up to that moment. And that phenomena is all there is. That's a big one, isn't it? So, what's real? Each fresh moment can be shadowed by the past. We know that. We bring the past into the present moment. And when we do that, of course, we're not experiencing life directly. We're just thinking about it. Or something really exciting or new could arise in any given moment, and we're not noticing. So if we do believe that, then we know we can begin again. And I know you've heard that many, many times, but it's just such a compelling way to live, because there's so much that we don't understand about ourselves, and we confuse ourselves. We confuse ourselves in that we don't know ourselves as well as we would like to know ourselves. Well, why did she do that? Well, why did she say that, you know? So it's nice to know that, yes, everything's fresh and things are changing faster than fast. If we could put a microscope over us, we could see that nothing is as it appears. And so, again, it takes right effort to find out the way of things, the truth, because it's through the truth that we find the freedom that we touch ever so often. So our ego creates an inner unsettledness that needs our attention. And instead of being still and quiet, finding our true nature, we search outside of ourselves. And, you know, our culture certainly doesn't help us in that way, because we are pushed to be somebody, even if we know we're not anybody or nobody. So that identity, that cultural idea of identity is very deep. Randy used to say, he'd say it to me all the time, you know, you're not the principal. Said it for years. You know you're not the principal. And I have to say that it was quite a relief when he reminded me of that, because it was not a pleasant place to be at times. So we know we have egos, and we want to know as much as we can know about our egos and this sense of self. And so we have found out a process that enables us to have that kind of view about ourselves. But again, it's a practice that's tried and true. We can't start making up things on this practice. First of all, know what the Buddha has to say. It's tried and true. Go ahead, surrender to the teachings. And that, because that's important. And nothing's wrong with our ego, and we get lost or we don't understand its true nature. It causes us a lot of suffering. But with practice, we begin to come alive from our own experiences. I know you've had to witness that of how things, as we keep paying attention to how life shifts, life becomes more interesting. And we begin to see not to take ourselves so seriously. We're not our thoughts, our emotions, or our sensations. We're not even these bodies. And we're not our opinions or our egos. So can you see, when we understand the true nature of the phenomena that we're dealing with every second of our lives, the freedom that comes from that knowledge? Because it's where we get stuck. Things are changing faster than fast. You are not who you were a minute ago. And that's difficult for the mind to understand. But put a little bit of science in it, and we see that's true. It's scientific. It's not. We have instruments that show us the truth of what the body looks like from another perspective. So we have to be careful with how we and what we identify with, and not to identify with any just one thing, because we're all of it. We're connected to it all. And when we reconnect with our being, we are no longer run by our minds. They're not in charge anymore. And it's useful, as we've talked about. We've talked about how useful it is. I just talked about the change is so fast that there's no way that we could, in this system, this mind and body system, even come close to being able to view it. But again, that's where the mind kicks in. And that's good. That's good for us and good for the mind, because the mind is a stabilizer and it's useful. But again, as I've said 1,000 times, it's not wise. It creates issues. Have you noticed? And it creates issues relative to our preferences. And our preferences are created by the ego. And again, it's not, this teaching is not to be used to shame ourselves or think something's wrong with ourselves. No, not at all. It's just living with the truth. And living with the truth automatically brings more happiness. Now, I've noticed this about myself, and I've seen it in others too. Have you noticed that we don't create or participate in as much drama as we used to? And see how this practice leads us to this deep wisdom. Because the ego needs identification. It needs to be re-identified all the time. And so we're in the process of accommodating an ego that's not real. But have you noticed in this practice, though, the ego will tell us to search for more knowledge? No, it's here. No, have you tried that? No, here's a new list of things. This is a new study. And, you know, nothing's wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But stop wasting your time. We don't have much time. And these teachings are clear and they're liberating. And so spend our time and our right effort to get to know what this practice has to give to us, because it gives us the freedom and happiness that we all want. So we're saying, you know, it has to be harder than this, you know. I need more training. I need more teachers, you know. I need more retreats. More spiritual complexity. It's got to be hard. And so, there we go. On another journey of a journey. So ego will tell us that the more complicated the spiritual information is, the more difficult the techniques are, the more profound they are. And it's just not true. It is simple, simple, simple. I didn't say easy. I just said simple. And so the ego tells us that the harder it is, the better it is. And this practice is not difficult. Our glass is not full. That's the only way to come to these teachings is take the ego and the preferences and opinions, you know, not out of our lives. We know that they're useful and can be used. But as far as the practice is concerned, they're just wasting our time. We're just spinning our wheels. And if you trust the truth so far that's been taught in these teachings, then you can learn more. So our ego sometimes becomes our workaholic, even in our practice, trying to figure out various spiritual methods. And, you know, in this day and time, there's a whole lot of them because of the information age. And, you know, there's lots of promises out there. And I don't know about Randy. Yeah, I do know about Randy. But we were just so fortunate to have embodied truths within our teachers, so that we didn't have to go on all these side roads that kept us preoccupied with not the truth. So it's all about relaxing and letting be. How easy can that be? Well, you know, we don't know how to relax. I didn't know how to relax until I became quiet and still. Because relaxation is a complete surrendering. And, you know, our minds, and it's a good thing, will tell us, no, don't surrender to anyone or to anything. And we understand that because it's right. We don't want to be a victim. But sooner or later, if we really want to find the truth, sooner or later, we're going to have to give it up. Give up the striving. And then open. Keep ourselves open. Living in the present moment with no past or future. So the lesson is really just to get to know our ego. We've had lessons on the ego before. We'll have lessons again on the ego. But why? Because we all need reminders. You know, think, well, I've taught everything. You know, but as the way of things are, we still need reminders because we forget. Oh, yeah. That's why I'm coming to the Sangha. That's why I practice on a daily basis. That's why reading from good, sound, connected teachers that won't take us off on their own ego trip. I had one student, really, she's quite connected to the Dharma, and she was in another tradition, but she said, you know, I want to talk to you because, she said, if I go to my teacher, I'll just see ego. Thought, well, that's insightful. That's very, very insightful. And I don't know why I even brought it up, but it's just the fact that we get confused. And stress happens. Conflict happens. How do we view things in our life that we have coined or we have put in a box of problems? And someone comes around and says, there's no such thing as problems. That's a mind concept. And when we've created as a problem, then we bring lots of concepts to it. Whenever we're not honoring the present moment by allowing it to be, we're creating dharma. I mean, not dharma, we are creating drama. Boy, we like it. We like our drama sometimes. And sometimes we're quite fond. We love our drama, you know. It keeps us motivated. It keeps us, our ego, wanting more. So with that, I'm going to stop. And again, I want to say nothing's wrong with our ego, but we do want to know that it's real, but it's not true. And it's something for us to just remember about ourselves, that's part of us. Living as human beings. And so I'll stop.